Now we're into the last hour of the 9 till noon show. Good morning to you, and thank you so much for being a part of the programme. We're going to be talking about sleeping, how well one might sleep, or how can you sleep better. Sleep Well's new book, 8 Habits to Help You Fall Asleep, Stay Asleep and Wake Up Refreshed. So any questions about sleeping, getting off to sleep, how much sleep you might need, any disruptions to your sleep, if you want any advice, obviously it's all in the book. But we will be joined by its author, Fiona Brennan, shortly. Just have a general chit-chat. But as I say, maybe there are some specific questions you might want us to ask Fiona on your behalf. The government is not doing its job, says a listener. They missed the opportunity for Ireland to host the WRC. Every one of them should be sacked. Indeed, we were hoping to do an update on that today because, you know, we did speak on that a couple of months ago, and at that time it was just a case of the government putting their hands in their pockets, and it would have there would have been a lot more money coming back off the back of that, we were told. Ireland is taking in refugees and putting them in tents on the streets. They're creating more homeless by the day. Our society is in big trouble. The government does not work for the benefit of the people. Another €1 million a month to look after the pets of refugees. Appealing government gone mad. That comes in from Mary. Let me see now if we can say good morning to Fiona Brennan yet. Good morning, Fiona. Are you there?
I am here. Yes, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. Thank you so much for joining us and congratulations on your latest book, Sleep Well, 8 Habits to Help You Fall Asleep, Stay Asleep and Wake Up Refreshed. Sleep, it's you can't overstate how important sleep is to us to function effectively.
That's very, very true, Greg. It is. This is a book that really needed to be written. And I'm so proud of it in many ways because it has taken me on a journey. It's a very complex subject in terms of scientifically and also psychologically. There's a lot to unpack. And what I've done, and you know, that's why I'm so delighted, is I've managed to simplify a very complex subject. And essentially, I have provided the reader with a Sleep Well formula, which helps guide the most really sort of, I suppose, the people who feel they're at the end of their tether. From that scale to people who maybe believe they are quite good sleepers, but could still be better. I think and truly believe that this is a skill that we can all become more able to do. It's a training like any other. And when you become very, very skilled at it, your whole life opens up in terms of the restorative benefits.
You much like those that live with, you know, low to medium level anxiety throughout their life and they just believe it who it is and they can function and that's fine, but they're not living their best life, arguably. And I can put myself in that category. That's why I think I can say that freely. And I would say there's also a group of people that just kind of accept that they're not great sleepers or, you know, they snore of sleep apnea and that's just the way it is and that's who they are and they're just going to crack on with life and nap during the day, you know. Most of this is within our control, isn't it?
It really is, yes. And it's very well observed in terms of that kind of almost resignation that people have about it and a sense of just pulling through. You know, I can get by just about on 6 hours. I'm doing well, this kind of thing. And to be honest, anxiety and sleep are so interlinked in terms of that's actually what I specialize in, is anxiety and stress and helping people with that. And essentially in my work, if I meet someone, for example, who's suffering from anxiety and I do all I can to help them, we'll make progress. But if their sleep is not solid, we're going to take, you know, one step forward and two steps back, because sleep helps us to emotionally regulate. REM dreams are actually where it's like nature's free therapy, in a sense that you are getting yourself into a place where you feel calm and zen and you're able to actually thrive. And one of the concepts I talk about in the book is the best slept self, that most people, they don't know what that is, Greg. They're just so used to being underslept. And 62% of people globally would like to have better sleep. And it definitely is something that is in our control. And in a way, it's actually much more so than anxiety can be, because there's a lot of lifestyle habits that we can do that actually really improve our sleep and empower us to feel like, well, wow, like I'm actually so much more capable of this than I thought. And they really are tweaks in terms of what you can do. And then also in the book, the real component, I suppose, that makes it unique is that there are the accompanying hypnotherapy audios. So essentially, Greg, I would take somebody by the hand, if you like, and I joke and say I've slept with a lot of people all over the world. And what I really mean by that is that I have helped people to sleep all over the world. And essentially, the
thank you for the clarification.
Yeah, I know.
Completely unnecessary, but I do appreciate it nonetheless.
I'm glad. I'd hate to think people out there might think, what's going on at all? And especially when my husband actually says it's a great thing. He says it's good for business that I'm sleeping with all these people.
Come here. We're going to have to keep clarifying. It's come up with a different analogy or metaphor. Before we identify where we don't have, and I'm not asking you to shrink the audience for this book, but there are a good amount of people that believe they're getting good sleep or they are getting good sleep. And I've spoken to sleep specialists in the past and I sort of asked them, well, how do you know you're getting a good night's sleep? And they say, well, If you feel fresh during the day, you don't feel you require any sleep, you wake up fresh, and then you feel tired at what would be an appropriate time, dependent on the activity within the day, then it's likely you are getting enough sleep. And for some, it could be 5-6 hours. For others, it could be, 7.5-8. Would you subscribe to that?
Well, to be honest, I would say it's actually, the statistics show it's really, really low. Anyone who's getting 5 to 6 hours is going to be effective and enough sleep. It really isn't. Like 8 hours is the Goldilocks sort of number, if you like. 7 would be the minimum and 9 would be the maximum. We can oversleep as well. So it's getting good sleep habits. And like you said, it's people know themselves. And that's one of the things that I actually ask people, the reader, to do in the book is to measure their own sleep rather than a sleep tracking device, which I know a lot of people have, because what we know is that they're only about 60% accurate. So you could be getting inaccurate, evidence to say that you're not getting enough sleep. And then that, of course, is going to create more anxiety. And so much about sleep is actually about taking the pressure off it, Greg. It's about turning your attention towards rest rather than sort of trying to sleep. It's when, as long as we're trying to sleep, we are going to be fighting a losing battle. Sleep will come to you when you are in a state of calm relaxation.
Well, how do we get into that? Because often when the world's noise dies down, the noise in your mind becomes amplified. Right, and that could be whether someone's anxious or not. I think we all have something really we could be. It's very often, unfortunately, very rare that someone can lay their head down and don't have anything at all that concerns them. Right, so how do we prepare ourselves right from the beginning, or the first step, or maybe it's not the first step, just to sort of try and get into that space that affords us maybe a quick passage to sleep?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, it's like I said, I say is that a good night's sleep commences the moment you open your eyes. So you are proactively taking, actions to help you sleep. And the biggest block is the overactive mind. It's the biggest obstacle in terms of the thoughts in your mind. Like you said, the noise of the world dims down. And now all of a sudden, a tsunami of thoughts about yourself, the day, how did you turn up at that thing? What did you say? Was it the right thing? Could you have said something better? What's happening tomorrow? And the mind will start to go into that overdrive. So essentially, we need to rewind and we need to be really in touch with what's actually going on with us as we process the day. So checking in with ourselves regularly and often. I like to give the analogy of like dishes in the sink. If you leave all the dishes there from your breakfast, your lunch and your dinner, it's going to be a lot of work at the end of the day. So you want to process, cleanse and clear as you go. And one of the habits in the book, Greg, is the 60-minute unwind, blissful hour. So the hour before bed becomes a time where you actually, choose to allow your mind to get into that parasympathetic state, your whole body to be calm and relaxed. So things like, reading, journaling, my hypnotherapy audio in the book, maybe a warm bath, shower, anything that helps you to start to signal. Like if you think of children, they have cues, don't they, of when bed is coming, the story, etc. And we are no different as adults. Like we actually thrive with those signals and those cues. Essentially, we need to feel safe to let go. We need to feel that there is nothing pressing. There's no threat. And when you really examine it, and essentially what I'm talking about is mindfulness. When you really examine it, you realize, we are blessed. We are in such a privileged place that we are safe and we can let go. But we need to train ourselves to do that. It is a skill. It is an art. But believe me, it is so, so worth it.
Yeah. And I think really that the challenge is getting people to embrace that. Because I think as soon as you start talking of checking in on yourself and mindfulness, there is a cohort to go, yeah, that's not for me. And I've spoken to people like that before. And it's not really a space I'm in at the moment, and I should be. But I've spoken to people that would have been very pessimistic about that. But once they go through the, actually through the process or what have you, it begins to make sense, and the action helps them understand exactly what we'd be talking about. You talk about that hour of slow down, shut down, and I know in itself that can be a challenge for people with busy houses and caring or whatever it might be, but it can be different things for different people. A lot of people actually asking, you know, you talk about reading and what have you, screen time for some people, it might be running through their various websites and what have you. Do you have a particular view on screen time sort of immediately before you go to bed, be it a phone, tablet or TV, laptop?
Absolutely. Off. It's actually cruel to yourself to be on a screen and then expect yourself to go to sleep, because the other component of this, yes, it's the overactive mind, but it's also the light, Greg, right? So light gives the signal to the circadian clock. It's daytime. So when we are on our screens, we think that the whole system goes, oh, it's time to be awake. And then you're trying to go to sleep. So it's just so counterproductive. I would say at least an hour before you want to get the phone, just to come off your all screens, TV, phone, everything. Just have that hour that is sacred, and it becomes something that you genuinely look forward to. And, you know, I know I really appreciate what you're saying in terms of people saying, well, I just don't have the time for that. That sounds like a luxury. Well, it is a privilege, but it's not a luxury. That's the difference, right? It is, we are privileged to be able to do it, but we need to prioritize it. Because when you prioritize your sleep, you are actually giving yourself a gift and everyone that you love. You also have more time because your brain is functioning at such a higher, optimal level, and your immune system is higher. You're so much more able to fight colds and flus and viruses. So you're actually giving yourself more time when you are in that healthy, well-slept state. So I can't overemphasize that enough.
Mm-hmm. The reality is people consume caffeine, right? But is there a cut-off point, and eating as well, might as well throw that in there. But we've had a couple of questions about caffeine, but also eating. Is there a cut-off time that one should follow to give yourself the best chance of a good night's sleep?
Absolutely. Caffeine, when you know how to use it, is a great stimulant and substance, right? But you have to use it in a way that's effective for you. So 12 o'clock in the day, I'd say, is when you cut out tea and coffee. So tea is that kind of little slippery one snake that gets in, and people think, oh, it's just a cup of tea. You know, I'll have one at 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock. But what you're doing is putting caffeine into your system. And we know from sleep science that caffeine can mimic the signs of insomnia. So within 12 hours of consuming, let's say, a cup of coffee, a quarter of that is still in your system. So let's say you had a cup of coffee at 3 in the afternoon, 12 hours later, 3 a.m., a quarter of that caffeine is racing through your blood.
So it's like the half-life of it, really, isn't it?
Yes, yeah. Well, 12 hours is a quarter, and a half-life, I think, is 6 hours again. So, yeah.
Right, okay. Can you? Is it better to stick to a consistent sleep schedule even on weekends, or is it okay to play a little fast and loose on Saturday and Sunday?
Well, good question. And it is one of the habits in the book. It is to go to bed and wake up at, and I love this word, roughly the same time, right? Because we need to have a little bit of thing, you know, moderation, all things in moderation, including moderation. But yes, our systems love the regularity.
You see, the problem is I find I do wake up consistently at the same time, no matter what the situation is. And I kind of have to be off work for more than 3 or 4 days for even to lie in for an extra half an hour. But at the weekend, you go to bed later. So on that period of rest, dependent on when you work, of course, but that in period of rest, by the time you go back to work on Monday, you know, you've probably had 5 or 6 hours less sleep than you might have over the same period during the week. And that's probably
not
why
ideal.
Probably why we hate Mondays so much.
Yeah, absolutely. There is a thing called Sunday somnia. You know, it's this sense of the dread of Monday, but also that their sleep is schedule is out of whack. So essentially what you know, the first 4 hours of sleep, Greg, are the most important. So really, we want to be getting to bed at the same time as much as we possibly can. And it really does make a difference. And of course, there's going to be nights, there's going to be events, parties, etc. And what you want to do is just get back into the rhythm as soon as you can. So in other words, don't let it go for two nights or three nights. Just make sure it's worth breaking the rhythm and then get back into it as soon as you can.
A caller says, I haven't slept in about 2 months. It's the weather keeping me from sleeping. You're tired and not able to do anything. Farmers are unable to go to sleep as it's too wet for the animals to be outside. And if you do put them out, you're worried something will happen to them. I know that I'm not the only one. Now, very interested in your answer to this, but I should practice what I preach and I can't. But the bottom line is not sleeping doesn't in any way affect the reality or what is following the next day. It just exacerbates it and amplifies it potentially. So I don't know how through your book can you condition people to understand that not sleeping is not in any way improving the situation or changing it, the reality that the person has to deal with. It's just making it more difficult to contend with.
Making it 1,000 times more difficult, Greg, I would say. Absolutely. And essentially what we're talking about here is, you know, and I really can have compassion for this person who has written in, because, you know, what we're really looking at is the livelihood, right? You know, that's their livelihood. So it's understandable that they're concerned and that it's waking them up, that they're afraid to go to sleep, because if you let it all go, then that's a threat on a very deep subconscious level. That's your way that you make your living. However, like you said, it's actually the opposite. When you're wet, when you do sleep when you can, and there are so many challenges to sleep, Greg, you know, that's a good example, but there's countless. There's chronic pain, there's perimenopause, there's children, there's aging parents, there's so many different things, teenagers, you know, there's so many things that can impinge upon our sleep.
There's every excuse not to get a proper night's sleep in the world. Everybody yes, has something.
But what we want to do is we want to work with those challenges, right? Mm. We want to accept that they're there. We can't pretend that they're not there. But at the same time, to optimize the sleep when you can. And honestly, if that listener is interested to take a punt and listen to my audios, they will start to sleep better and deeper when they can and have the energy, as you say, to deal with the challenges when they wake up.
What are you... I mean, obviously, if you're napping... Well, not obviously, actually. You're the expert. If you're napping, you're probably not getting enough sleep. I don't know. But what is your views on napping?
Well, I wouldn't agree with that, to be honest with you, Greg, because I actually believe in napping.
Good,
and
good,
I believe
good.
In strategic...
Makes me feel
yeah,
good.
The power... the power nap. It's called NSDR. It's a non-sleep deep rest. And this was coined by Dr. Andrew Huberman, who is a great international neuroscientist. And essentially what we're talking about is going into that kind of state. And this is where hypnotherapy comes in as well, where you're in between. It's a theta brainwave. Okay, so you're in between wakefulness and sleep. You're not in a deep sleep. And it's incredibly restorative to do this after lunch, not too late in the afternoon. And the magic number is 23 minutes, right? So you want to keep it short, keep it sweet. Now, again, not everyone has that ability in terms of their schedule. It is a privilege. But, you know, here I am, I'm in my car, I'm doing different interviews today, but I will make sure that I get that time in.
And
I'll prioritise it
that I can... Sorry, I was going to say, I want to finish by just a more of a focus on the book, but I just want to ask you one more question.
Yeah.
You know, Spotify don't like people to know, but actually it's not Taylor Swift or P. Diddy or whatever is the most streamed on their platform. It's actually like the likes of White Noise and other sounds that are actually topping the charts if they were included. What is your view on going to sleep with the noise, but then a lot of people leave it on over the course of the night? I don't like that. I think that's disruptive, it going on all night. I have no issue with using it myself or for the younger ones in the house to nod off. But what's your view?
I think that essentially what people are looking for is to distract them from their thoughts, right? And what we want to do is not distract ourselves from our thoughts, but actually deal with them. I can understand that it's soothing and it's safe. And essentially, like my audio, it's about 24 minutes. And it does that in terms of it. It provides that soothing safety, but it also helps to cleanse and to clear whatever's going on for you on a psychological level. If I could just say, Greg, before we finish, that I'm having an event for the book if people are interested in learning more. I'm going to be bringing the 8 habits of the book to life. and that is the King Coyle Sleep Well Experience. Now, it might be a bit far for some listeners, but it's in County Wicklow and it's on Sunday the 19th of May. And people can find out about that on my website, thepositivehabit.com, and also on my Instagram, which is also The Positive Habit.
And just very finally, the book Sleep Well, 8 Habits to Help You Fall Asleep, Stay Asleep and Wake Up Refreshed, 8 Weeks to Better Sleep. Are you tooling people up with the 8 habits to employ over the 8 weeks? Are you taking people on the 8-week journey? Obviously, as you mentioned, there's audio accompaniment to this as well, too. So it's kind of a bit of a package. But how do you want people to read this cover to cover? Do you want them to go on the journey through the book with you? What way would you want people to consume it to get the best most from it?
It's a good question. And to be honest, yes, the ideal is that you follow it week to week. Dermot Whelan, who wrote the foreword for me, he did that himself and was able to kind of, you know, listen to each audio and develop each habit per week so that it's not overwhelming. I think that's really important when it comes to sleep, is that you have a strategy and a plan that has simplified things. Like I said at the top of the call, it's simplifying something and really helping to give the readers something tangible to hold on to and to have faith. Believe me, there is so much that can be done. And I am a walking advocate of that, testament to that.
It's been lovely having you on the show, Fiona. Thanks for fielding some of the questions. And again, congratulations on your latest book. And I'm sure it's going to be successful as those that went before it, including Positive Habit. Thanks for your time.
Thank you, Greg.
Bye.
And sleep
care.
Well.
You too. Take
bye
care.
Bye.
Sleep Well is available in all the usual places. You know now, it's not, I'm not going to do that. All the usual good bookshops everywhere has it, or you can get it online. That's all up to you. That is Fiona Brennan. And that was Wellness Wednesday, talking about sleep, hopefully of some use to you out there. A caller says, is there no money for the Simon community? How is there money available to take in people from outside the country? Pets for over €1 million. And I anticipated these messages were coming through, and I understand exactly how people might feel like that. And that's why I wanted the deputy to actually field that question. It's not a conflation. It's a reality where humans, people are going to think like that. Okay, it's Wednesday, which means Highland Radio's Business Matters podcast is available for you to stream or download. It's where Chris Ashmore speaks to, I suppose, those behind the businesses, their ethos, what works for them, what didn't work for them, the highs, the lows, and all that type of stuff. And Chris is with us in the studio, actually. Good morning to you, Chris.
Good morning, Greg.
So before we get to the podcast, let's talk some news. And there's a startup boot camp.
Yes. So if you've ever thought of maybe doing a boot camp from a business perspective, Alpha Innovation has announced details of the 2024 Startup Boot Camp. And it's taking place at CoLab at the ATU Donegal campus here in Letterkenny. People from early stage startup businesses are being encouraged to apply. It's a 7-session program throughout May and June, and there'll be clinics and workshops, and you'll get all sorts of advice. And it's a real stepping stone. So if you go on to alphainnovation.eu, you'll find out details there. Applications open at the moment and they close on Sunday the 28th of April.
Letterkenny Chamber are hosting a Meet the Panel event. It's tomorrow morning, actually. What's this about?
Yes, they run a series of these events. The panel for the latest one will comprise of Liam Tinney, who's the Managing Director of Tinney Toys. And the company has seen a remarkable 300% surge in online revenue in 3 years. So a good example of a business that's gone down the digital route, online sales from all over Ireland and indeed further afield. There'll also be on the panel Jenny Timoney, CEO of Fit Pink Fitness. Now, Jenny's been involved in various projects over the past 30 years and has won numerous awards, always worth listening to. And they'll be joined by James Cave, the co-owner of FWD Commerce, who specialises in transforming e-commerce businesses. So that's all from 9 to 11.30. You can book through the chamber there.
Just in relation to some of those businesses, Tinny Toys, for an example, and I got no money off when I went in there, which I was quite peed off about, right? But anyway, there's a good reason for that, because they support Highland Radio really well. But that's not my point. That's my joke, but the serious element to it. Firstly, stuff out of there is good value, but also, too, and this is why it's important to shop local. Say, for instance, your electric stuff, your ride-on stuff and all that kind of stuff. Tinny stock all the replacements for it locally. because sometimes people buy this stuff, you know, off online or from foreign or whatever, right? And then one of the wheels goes, or the engine burns out, or the batteries need replacing, and then that's it. How many of them end up in the skip? But the good thing about shopping local, and this is why it is good, and the likes of Tinnies and other great businesses, is that I think all of, or the majority of stuff they sell, they also stock replacements and repairs. Another reason to shop local. It's a brilliant shop.
And a very reader or viewer friendly website as well,
exactly,
which all helps easy
but
to navigate.
It's just the follow up stuff is where you get often with local. And I don't think people realize that there's sort of, you know, it makes sense to your investment. Actually, I think you knocked a tenner off for me, I should say. Right. But anyway, it's just, as I say, we talk about local businesses and the importance of shopping local. And just thought that was a really good example going back from a year or so ago. Right. Board Ischiwara have a mentoring program.
Yes, the Minister for the Agriculture, Food and Marine, Charlie McConnellogue, is urging Donegal businesses in the aquatech sector to apply for this. Now, what's aquatech? Well, it's basically any technology or innovation that's driving sustainable seafood farming. They reckon there's a lot of potential in this area. And the Minister has actually said that he's pointed out that the aim of BIM's Innovation Studio is to grow Ireland's aquatech business and to position the country as the Silicon Valley of the aquatech sector. So we'll watch with interest on that one, Greg.
Yes, indeed. Can't wait. Right, Intertrade Ireland, a call out to startups again.
Yeah, just another deadline for applications. This is for businesses in their infancy or ones that have a potential for quick, rapid growth. There's a thing called the Seed Corn Investor Readiness Competition. It's the largest business competition of its kind in Ireland, and there's a cash prize fund of €300,000. So if you go to the Intertrade Ireland website, you can find out more about that. Applications closing on Friday the 26th of April. And also, Greg, just one other thing to mention, the Donegal Women in Business Network. They have a networking over coffee event. It's free in the Central Hotel in Donegal Town on Friday week from 11 to 12 noon. The hosts will be Elaine McEnaw, hospitality and tourism specialist, and Joe Daly from a Key West restaurant in Donegal Town.
Brilliant stuff. Right, let's get on to the podcast now. Who's your guest this week? All guests.
Yes, guest this week is a Donegal woman who returned to her native Gwydor after spending more than a decade in the insurance industry in the Middle East. Helen Burke, who was initially a teacher in Qatar, and then she went to Dubai, working in what they call the insurtech sector. She has founded a company called TeamBase Ireland, and essentially their business centres around simplifying and automating insurance administration business processes. And she's full of praise for Udras na Gaeltachta, the local enterprise office, and Donegal County Council and how they support businesses. And in this clip, she replies to my question about just going out there, going for it, getting advice and support.
Very much so. I think it all sort of starts as well with your own self-belief and courage. And you know, we're all our own worst critics, I would say, sometimes. You know, and it's just having that conversation. Meet someone in your Leo or an Udras for a coffee. Tell them what you're thinking about doing, and you just never know where it would go. You know, literally that is how it sort of started out for me and for us here. You know, a cup of coffee up in GTEC, you know, and then it started moving into a feasibility study, and now here we are making strides for the European, North American, and you know, international market. So it's like, just take that step, jump in, dive in. You know, you're standing on that board at the swimming pool, and you're thinking, should I jump or not? But see, if you don't jump, you'll sort of. I'd rather try and know that I've, you know, given it a go than look back and regret in years to come.
Okay, Chris, the full interview is available right now on our website, and that's highlandradio.com, of course, and broadcast after the Sunday news this coming Sunday. And if people want to contact you, Chris, how do they do so?
Yes, you can email me on businessmatters@highlandradio.com.
Chris, as always, great to have you on the programme. Thank you so much for joining us. Okay, it is the 9 till noon show. Our lines remained open for you, 086 60 25,000. And a big shout out to our loyal podcasters that listen to the show on the podcast. And also that listen overnight or watch back on social media. In other words, any of you that listen to the show, but it's not live. We want your views and your input on the show as well. That's why we have the email address comments@highlandradio.com. So if anything on the programme today or any day for that matter piques your interest and you say, I have an opinion on that, well, share your opinion because every single one of your opinions is as valid as the other. Even Darren, who gives me a poke on social media most days. How many times have you told your listeners, Greg, that they can't make it rain? And those who said it, you were made out to be crazy. I never said it. Darren, I appreciate your support. You watch every day, even though I think half the time I wind you up. No, I've never. Climate engineering is something that's never been not talked about on this program. You do mention chemtrails, and then that sort of gets into a different space where people have different opinions. But no, we've talked actually quite a bit about what they do, cloud seeding in Dubai and elsewhere. So maybe that was a different program. I appreciate your input nonetheless. Good morning, Greg. I thought the ED €100 charge abolished last April for non-medical card holders. I've been reading conflicting reports last year. Maybe you could find out. Thanks indeed. And there was a post I put up on social media yesterday about the pressures at Letterkenny University Hospital. Yesterday, there was not a single bed available. Every bed was full. 111 people presented at the ED, and that was up to mid-afternoon in the day. And also, what was the other issue as well? They were asking people to go to their GP in the first instance, which felt a little bit ironic given the fact that we spoke to a lady yesterday who was trying to see her GP and was told that to ring back after March 7th. That's when the next round of GP slots might be available. Right, it's not down to speed that we're, but sorry, on that post, there was a lot of people questioning the cost of going to the ED. I'm going to get clarity on that for you. It's not all down to speed that we're having so many deaths on the roads. For me, it's policing is one of the main problems with all the modified cars that are not roadworthy. A few times I've encountered diffing on the main road, and on one occasion, I had to come to a stop on the Goldana Road where they just blocked the road. So I'm sure they'll come up with another crazy law that won't be policed and the ordinary person will pay again. The only thing is, and I think, you know, anecdotal evidence is fine and it's good and we should discuss it in our contributing factors. But there is also the data. Unfortunately, we also have access to the vehicles that are actually involved in fatal road traffic collisions. We also have data on the drivers, their age, you know, the type of cars they're driving. And it's modified cars aren't necessarily overrepresented in that situation. Still speeding, distracted driving, your phone, etc., drink and drug driving, they are also the key factors. So I'm not, of course, for a second dismissing your point, but we don't want to sort of say look over there and then take our eyes off what potentially is the key factors in this regard. Rightio. Daniel O'Donnell is patron of the Relay for Life. Donegal, he joins us now. And actually, I should say, Daniel, you're co-patron of Relay for Life now because your wonderful wife is a joint patron. Am I correct in saying so?
That's right. Yes, hello, Greg.
We don't want to upset Magella. We want to make sure she gets her full title. Okay. That's right. It's only around the corner, time marches on, Daniel, that you're performing at a concert for Relay for Life at the ATU in Letterkenny. Talk to me about this concert, please.
Yes, well, it's taken a place during Relay for Life. It's Relay for Life is on the 25th and 26th. It's a 24-hour event starting on the Saturday and then finishing on Sunday afternoon at 4 o'clock. And there's always music there, but, you know, this year there's music on the Saturday too. But this year we decided that we would promote it a little better. And, you know, there's a concert. I'm doing a concert from 1:30 to 3:30 on the Sunday. That's the 25th and, no, the 26th, is it? I'm bad on the dates. I need to be looking. You'll probably be better than
Sunday,
me.
Sunday the 26th of May.
Sunday,
yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah,
26th. The 26th, aye. And, I mean, the concert is... There isn't an actual fee for the concert or for the tickets. But hopefully people will make a donation to Relay for Life, be it large or small. Everything is you know, gratefully appreciated. And you can apply for tickets for the concert. You'll probably give out the various ways, Relay for Life, on their website, and I'm sure you'll have it up on your website, mm-hmm. as where people apply for the tickets. And as I said, the donation is up to the person themselves. But the other thing I think that's important to stress is that it's really essential that we realise what Relay is for all about. I mean, certainly it's raising money for services and also for research. There are people there all over the 24 hours. And I think what I want to do on the day, or what I want the concert to do, is that there are people there, physical bodies there, in solidarity with those people. There are many people who will be there on that day who will be going through the cancer journey. And I think it's so important to stand with people who are going through cancer. Many of them have survived cancer and are there, you know, to support and you know, try to raise money as well, because without the research that went before their diagnosis, their good health now that they're grateful for may not have been possible. So it's such an important event, and I suppose what I want the concert to do, certainly to raise money, but also for people to come out in solidarity with all those who are there that are really going through a tough time. And I just think that it's a great thing to mm-hmm. be able to give and support just on to that, people on physically
that
point, as well.
Yeah, and on that point, Daniel, you know, very sadly, such is the nature of cancer, is that we're all either directly or one person removed, affected by this awful disease. Relay for Life is an amazing it's an amazing event, and it's this is not in any way a slight on what went before, but I think it did sort of need this extra whoosh that it's getting this year, particularly with the pandemic. You know, that's affected an awful lot of things, and it's always really well attended, don't get me wrong, but actually what we need is feet on the ground and bums in the seats, because the setting is beautiful in Letterkenny. It's central. There's loads of parking. It's a wonderful, thoughtful, upbeat, positive, whatever someone wants to take from it, experience, just to be there. And as you say, it's solidarity and standing with your fellow person as well. So I really do hope, and I actually get a sense that this year is just going to be a rejuvenated event, Daniel. And I think this idea of yours and you giving your time for this concert is just another string to that bow in ensuring that it's just a very extra special event this year.
Yes, and also, you know, on the Saturday evening, you know, the late service. There's another name, Loom. I can't just remember the exact title of it, but where they light candles. And it's just such a poignant experience, and it's a moving experience to be a part of. So, you know, all over from 4 o'clock on the 25th to 4 o'clock on the 26th, people can attend. But this concert then is sort of, it's the end of the 24 hours. So from 3:30 to 4, then they will have the service to end this year's Relay. But I just hope that we can stress, you know, the importance of people coming and, you know, just being a part of it, and to show just solidarity with so many people.
Yeah, for
and
sure.
There's nothing like, you know, the people's support when you're going through a tough time. We all know that. And as you said, everybody knows somebody, and most families have been affected by cancer in one way or another, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's so important to raise money. I know some of it goes to local services, but without research, the future for people that will be diagnosed with cancer is you know, you have to have research, because that's what gives people life and gets people over and to recover from cancer.
Okay, so just to recap, Daniel, it's 1:30 in the afternoon to round off the 24 hours. Daniel O'Donnell performing a concert at the Relay for Life on Sunday, the 26th of May at the ATU in Letterkenny. It is ticketed, but the tickets are free, and you're asking people to be as generous as they possibly can in raising money for cancer, the people that suffer from it, and those that unfortunately will, because research, as you mentioned, Daniel, incredibly important. We'll get all the timings, all the dates and everything right. Stick them up on our social
media.
Yeah,
just to go online and they can apply for the tickets, you know. And I mean, I know that the money is important, and I know people will give if they're able. But if somebody is not able to give for any reason, even apply for your ticket and stand there on the day.
Indeed. Daniel, thank you for your time today. That's Daniel O'Donnell, patron of the Relay for Life, Donegal. His wife, Magella, also patron as well. We appreciate Daniel's time. Check out our social media and Relay for Life as well. Of course, they need the clicks, maybe more than we do, and get all the information there. But for those of you familiar with our socials, we'll share it there as well. Okay, so that concert from Daniel is taking place, as we mentioned, as part of Relay for Life. We're going to just double check and make sure as it relates to the ticketing situation and all that type of stuff. We'll get all that clarified. But the good news is though, that Daniel O'Donnell is doing a two-hour concert from 1:30 on the 26th of May as part of Relay for Life. The weather clouded today with outbreaks of light rain and drizzle. Some sunny intervals will develop between spells of light rain this evening. Temperatures of 8 to 10 degrees. Okay, right. I mentioned Minister Charlie McConnell Logue on the show a little earlier on, and he didn't like what I said and sent a text in. Okay, which is getting a bit silly, but not from him, obviously, not from the minister. It's just if we could speak maybe actually publicly on air, it might be better. But anyway, I respect Minister McConnell Logue's view. But I don't think he was listening, but I'm sure he has ears that are. I believe Greg made a comment this morning misrepresenting my reason for not participating on his show when he's presenting. I added in when he's presenting because he'll speak to Donald, by stating it was somehow due to the defective concrete block issue. This is certainly not the case, and I'd appreciate if he would stop with the misrepresentation. As I've said clearly before, the reason I've taken the stance of no longer participating in his show is to publicly demonstrate my objection to the way the show is so often dominated by his own particular views on issues being covered. As I've said previously too, it's an unfortunate situation that the public in our county don't get impartial coverage of issues they're entitled to. As a result of this presentation, Approach is what is the only current affairs show in the county. Well, there are others, but it's the only one that's broadcast out of the county. I really genuinely, hand on my heart, believe I'm actually really quite balanced. And the only issue I'd been speaking to the minister beforehand was the DCB issue. If it's other stuff, that's fine. That being said, we can speak to Micheál Martin, Leo Varadkar, Simon Harris, Mark McSherry is not in the government anymore, Hildegard Knocken, every single minister, every member of the cabinet we've spoken to, all the Fianna Fáil representatives, Martin McDermott, Paul Canning, Joe McHugh, obviously not of the party, no issues there, Councillor Rena Donaghy, always a great time for her. She always has great time to come onto the programme. Literally everybody else. I don't fully get it, but I fully respect it. And in the interests of fairness, I've read out the text as it was sent in to us. I just don't fully get it, and I prefer not to thrash it out on air. But I suppose if I make a comment, then I do have to publish the response. Okay, Scully Scun is the largest primary school in Donegal. It provides education to over 750 children, and it's back on the news agenda again. Councillor Jack Murray joins us on the programme now. Come on, good morning, Councillor. Thanks for your time.
Good morning, Rick.
Right, okay. There's no question of the quality of education that's being provided in the facilities, which makes it all the more remarkable given the poor condition and of the facilities and the need for new ones. And we've been talking about this for a long time.
Yeah, look, as a parent of a young child and baby infants in Scully Scun, I suppose I've skin in the game here. I want to see that school, the new build going ahead ASAP. But there's been frustration. There's been a total lack of urgency from the Department of Education, from the Minister's Office on this. So much so that the plan of permission had expired at one point. We then had the plan of permission reinstated back in November 2022. And I suppose with the fanfare around that announcement, we expected things to get moving, construction to be well underway by now. But still, we still await that. And the Board of Management have done a huge amount of work. They're a very professional Board of Management, and they've been bombarding the Minister's Office, for want of a better word, with documentation to get this to go ahead. They put together a 114-page document which set out the really poor building conditions that are in that school. Now, it's a fantastic educational school, but the facilities are just way beyond what we should have in a modern society. Reports of teachers coming in after heavy rainfall, drying down desks, drying books in anticipation of kids coming in that morning. Like, it's way beyond being acceptable now at this point. So
what does it take? Paragh McLaughlin raised this in the Dáil security debate with Minister for Education, yeah, Norma Foley, which is available for people to watch back. But what will it take? What does it take? What decision does government have to make, or the minister have to make, for this to progress? Because, as I say, the planning permission is back in place again, which is good. That's a big hurdle overcome. So what actually is required from the minister for light to be at the end of the tunnel?
Well, the next step is to issue a letter of intent for instruction to commence. Now, the minister did, in response to a question from Paddy McLaughlin yesterday in the Dáil, said that would happen in the coming days. Now, I welcome that. I don't think it should have been this long to get to that point. But if that proceeds, we have the conditions of letter of intent then to be met, and we can go ahead with construction. So, absolutely, I'd welcome that. But people have been let down far too many times on this. The wait, there's been too many false promises, and we're waiting far, far too long. So, look, we wait on this next step. We wait the action because, look, as I say, I'm a parent of that school. I'll be walking around the school in the morning, and the first thing you meet parents in the schoolyard, they're very, very frustrated. They're very angry. They'll be asking, mm-hmm, when is this happening? Okay. This is far, far too long. Kids that have gone through the school waiting for it to happen have nearly gone through secondary school by now. It's just not acceptable, and has to. A greater level of urgency. Yeah,
well, listen, at the end of the day, we'll trumpet the good news as well if the Minister for Education follows through on that commitment.
And I will too.
So that's what it comes down to. But we've said a matter of days. We'll just have to wait and see. But for now, Councillor Murray, thank you for your time.
Yep, thank you.
Okay, take care of yourself. Right, if you want a view on that, 08660 25000. Right, we will be back with more on the 9 till noon show tomorrow morning from 9. Have a great day, everyone. John Breslin's next.